Greetings and happy Sabbath to everyone. I'm glad you could join in, whether you're listening by phone or whether you're watching the video that's before you. Again, I hope everyone had a wonderful week. It looks like it's a beautiful Sabbath day here in the valley. I'm not sure where the weather is where you're at, but I hope again that it's a beautiful day for you. I'm going to jump right into the message today and ask, how are you doing? How's it going? Are you feeling perhaps a little frustrated, a little confused, maybe anxiety, or maybe a little bit of fear given the circumstances that we find ourselves in currently in this month of May in the year of 2020? When we look back at over the events that have taken place, can we ask ourselves, yeah, this caught me off guard just a little bit. Wasn't quite expecting this. Or maybe you even use the phrase, I never would have in a million years believed this could happen. I know I've used that phrase many times. I've also used that phrase, never would happen. Maybe that's something that needs to be removed from our language as well. You know, when we look back over these events, we can look at other historical events that people have experienced that have been large and grave. They still probably can reminisce about it. There are individuals that are still alive who went through the Great Depression. There are those that are still alive that went through World War II. But do you know, on May 14th, 1948, Israel declared its independence. October 15th, 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis began. July 2nd, 1964, the American Civil Rights Act was signed. April 30th, 1975, the fall of Saigon. November 9th, 1989, the fall of the Berlin Wall. And September 11th, 2001, the attack on the World Trade Centers. These are all events on a timeline that many of us can relate to. We were alive when they occurred. We heard about them or read about them or witnessed them. Not an exhausted list by no means, but we have a framework that we can look back to and go, I remember that. They all had a direct impact on specific people in certain ways, but the events that we're experiencing today affects all of us. Every one of us have been affected, whether it be individually, through our families, through our education, through our jobs, or maybe even the businesses that we own. We all have a story that we can tell. There is some point in the future that we will look backwards and go, do you remember back in 2020 when the epidemic took place and the impact that it had? I was reading an article from Political Magazine dated March 19th, 2020, when individuals expressed opinions on potential changes to the society as we know it and how it may be reshaped. This is not exhaustive, but again, I'd like to share a couple of the snippets that came from it. Consider our language that we use today. We know, or now hear, perhaps, the words new normal, social distancing, essential versus non-essential, shelter in place, the elbow bump. I know I've reverted to Live Long and Prosper following after the Star Trek series and the character Spock. But we also hear stay home and save lives, or flattening the curve. Again, our language has changed. Also, how society may be impacted is that the personal becomes more dangerous. Touching things, being with other people, breathing other people's air in enclosed spaces is now considered risky. It may be second nature to recoil when somebody extends a hand. I know last week I was working with a vendor and they extended their hand and I also, and I'm like, oops, can't do that. Maybe the handshake is now gone. Who knows? And we may find that we should be washing our hands, but maybe it's more frequently than we have done in the past. We see that society is looking to experts more frequently or more seriously. Those considered experts in the medical field, experts in public health, experts in epidemics and diseases. Society has been forced to adapt, and perhaps this will be a new change that we see going forth to technology and the use of technology more. Online shopping has increased. I know in vendors shipping materials to me where I work, I've talked to the FedEx driver, the UPS driver, and they say our runs and our volumes are right on par with the holiday season and the number of packages that we're delivering. No one's keeping their on-schedule time promises, you know. No more two-day deliveries, or unless you pay the exorbitant price for overnight, you can pretty much figure out whatever your lead time for getting something is now increased. Telemedicine has been more widely accepted. Talk to your doctor over the computer. Homeschooling is now an in thing where it was once frowned upon. Working remotely, although it's been around for years, more companies have had to do this now. And will it return? Will any of this return? Look at church services. Here we are recording because we can at this time come together, be able to provide spiritual nourishment. Kind of like clothes, you know, we might stretch them out. They may still fit, but they don't fit like they once did. They don't come back to exactly the same way they once were. We've seen big government make a comeback with all the bailouts, with all the aid. We see that people are looking more to the federal, the state, and the local levels, more so than they did, to find out exactly what decisions are being made and what will be the impact and the long-term potential effects on each and every one of us. You know, the world you and I live in today is unprecedented in history. We're now witnessing the speed at which diseases can spread through mass transportation. Get on a plane in one part of the world, travel to another part of the world carrying something that's infectious, and it easily is dispersed. We see the grinding to a halt, a global economy, where an event in one part of the world again affects everyone. The concentration of millions of people in tightly packed cities with limited food supplies demonstrates that there will be an impact on all. Because if you can't get there first, then there's nothing left for you. As people have demonstrated, they will hoard. People will seek to survive and to take care of themselves. And unfortunately, take care of themselves at the expense at times of others. All of this points to conditions preceding what Christ foretold would be like no other. No other. And given all this, what should our spiritual response be? Perhaps we've been a little sleepy. Perhaps we've been a little lethargic spiritually. Again, can you and I say, oh, I saw this coming from a long way? Or were we caught by surprise? Were we caught by surprise? Perhaps we've not focused on the future so much as the present. Going, well, it's still not the time, not the season. We've got time yet. And we put off those things that are most important. Did not Jesus warn about the terrible things that would come upon the first century Jerusalem and those things that would come latter for the end times? Those warnings are there for us in Scripture, and we're going to take a look at those shortly. Earth-shaking events will catch a complacent world off guard that's not watching, who's unprepared. So horrible are these events that Christ referred to them as a time of great tribulation, a time of intense pressure and trial without precedence and scope. The key word, though, is intense and intensity. They build on one another. It'll get more and more intense. They will happen more frequently. And there is a point where there is no reeling back. There is no new normal. There is no normal as one thing occurs after the other. The scripture again shows that it becomes so intense, so bad, that God has to intervene, send Christ back, intervene before humanity wipes humanity off of the face of the planet. So let us ask ourselves if Christ would say the following things or the following thing to us. This is taken from Matthew 26 and verse 40, where Christ is praying prior to his crucifixion. He took a couple of the disciples with him out into the garden and they began to pray. We're going to omit Peter's name, and I'd ask that we insert our own name there. We'd insert our own name there. Matthew 26, verse 40 says, "Then he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said to," and again, insert your own name there. I'll insert my name there. "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? So I ask you, how is your watch going? Where's your watch going?" Let's turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, which is known as the Olivet Prophecy, and we'll begin as we'll skip through this chapter. But we're going to hit some points along the way. Verses 1 and 2, Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple. But in verses 3 through 14, he talks about the end of the age. And we're going to pick up in verse 3. "Now he sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, what will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?'" They're looking for an exact date. They're looking for an exact time, a month, a day, and a year. But they weren't given that. They weren't given that. What do you suppose this is? Do you think perhaps that it would impact their spiritual condition? That if they knew that it literally was not coming in their time frame, would they let down? Would they think, "Oh, we've got plenty of time. I'll get serious in the latter part of my life. I'm not really going to worry about it in the early part of my life." We don't know that date and time either. And probably for the same reason. That's that we stay focused. We stay alert. We stay watching. It's to our own good to be preparing with anticipation. And that's what we should be. That's what we should be doing. In verse 4 it says, "And Jesus said and answered to him, 'Take heed, no one deceive you.'" Again, it didn't start with a date. It talks about deception. And deception, whether it be religious deception or whether it be from the ways of this world, can have devastating effects on one's spiritual life. There are those that go off to higher education and come back with the idea that science can explain everything, so there is no need for God. Or they get ensnared with foolish arguments, not being strong enough to answer those questions or fully understanding what they believe. Do they believe what they believe? Do they know what they know? And they get entangled and they get tripped up. And then there's the false individuals, the deceivers. The scriptures talks about false apostles, false Christ, false messiahs, false ministers, false teachers, and false brethren. All things that can harm us if we're not wise and discerning. Wise and discerning. For example, October 22nd, 1844, William Miller proclaimed that Christ would return. His followers gave away everything in preparation for that date. And they eagerly sat in anticipation, waiting for Jesus Christ to return. And it didn't happen. All the great disappointment. But that wasn't the first, and that wasn't the last time that has happened. There have been many throughout the years that thought they had figured out, or thought that somehow God had revealed to them the exact specific date and time that Jesus Christ would return. It's interesting, and we'll read this later, that Christ said that he didn't even know. I always think it's odd when somebody goes, well, the Father would go around the Son, talk directly to this individual to give that individual information that he's not willing to share with his Son who sits at his right hand. That makes no sense at all. But yet people still continue to go down that path. I talked about we have to be wise and we have to be discerning. I've used a quote in the past from Charles Spurgeon as it really drives the point home very well. And it goes again like this. Discernment is not simply telling the difference between what is right and what is wrong. Rather, it's the difference between right and almost right. Right and almost right. Because if it's almost right or slightly off, then it's wrong. Which is worse, half lie or whole lie? Beginning again in verse 5, Matthew 24. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars. We have seen it throughout the ages. We've experienced it on TV. We've actually become numb to wars, to fighting, and the death of individuals, unfortunately, because it occurs so much in this world. It doesn't seem to ever end. And rumors of wars, the rattling of sabers always is going on. But we're instructed by Jesus Christ, see that you are not troubled. See that you are not troubled. We know God's truth. We have his word. He's still in charge. He's still in charge. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, there will be pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. And we're experiencing those things and have experienced those things. Verse 8. Note the first part of this. All these are the beginnings. The beginnings of sorrows. None of these are the specific event, but a collection. Together they are a sign. These are a beginning of sorrows. More to come. Not the end. They're the start. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That occurred in the past. We know that it will occur in the future. But we haven't experienced that just yet. Thank God. And many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. And it's interesting during this pandemic that there were hotlines set up and people were asked to report anyone they found not social distancing. And there were those that took advantage to make sure that they called. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. You know, the work of God has to continue. The preaching of the gospel has to take place. Whether it be done through our individual examples, It's how we respond to daily life, given the conditions that we're currently in, how we respond and deal with life as we're on the job, and how people portray our attitudes as positive or negative. They will look to us for a source of strength. Go, how do you do that? How can you remain so calm given what we're going through? Preaching the gospel will continue through print, through TV, with the Beyond Today program, and on the internet, for as long as it can. I mean, it's interesting when you take a look and you think about it, that if the world can come to a screeching halt in 3 weeks, and we have seen comments made on national television where they say that anything that doesn't fit a specific narrative will be pulled from social media, different internet platforms, they will be pulled down. Those videos or those comments will be taken off the air. What happens one day when something that God has said, which it has been criticized many times as hate and discord and causing problems in the world. I mean, God's always been accused of all the problems because he doesn't intervene. You know, he's a loving God, but why doesn't he intervene? We know the answer to that. But what happens when our message becomes one that people truly want to stop their ears and go, pull that down, take that down, remove that? It could happen very quickly. It could happen very, very quickly. The famine of the word, where things are taken off the air. Let's drop down to verse 21 in Matthew 24. For there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be. No, it'll be progressive. To the point, again, of not returning to the former, where something will be added on. If it's not already bad, it'll be worse. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Christ's own words. And yet there are many people out there that believe that Christ is not telling the truth. You can truly make that assumption because obviously they keep trying to figure out the exact day and hour and feel that they have been inspired and they've been led to find that exact day and hour. But as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Kind of interesting, you know. Noah built the ark. He warned. He proclaimed God's message. People, more than likely, because obviously only Noah and his family was saved, they weren't listening. They weren't watching. They weren't considering it serious enough. Could you imagine that it probably rained hard for maybe a week and everybody was like, oh, this is probably pretty serious now. And then it quit raining, the sun came back out, and they're like, not really. Then it rains again, then does this a couple of times to where people go, well, it's just a cycle. It just happens. It's not a big deal. They finally then probably just cast off the whole idea. Yeah, you got the boat. You keep saying it. It rains, it comes and goes, sun's out, not going to happen. And then boom, the rain comes. And it doesn't stop. And it doesn't stop for 40 days and 40 nights. People look at the events in this world going, yeah, it's always been wars, it's always been disease, it's always been cold, it's always been hot, you name it. It's always been, it's always been. You guys are just naysayers. You keep crying aloud, nothing ever happens. They may have that mindset, but we should never have that mindset. Because it will happen. It will happen. Let's drop down to verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Watch. This word, gregoreo, is a Greek word which means to be alert or to be awake. Be alert and to be awake. I ask the question, is the specific purpose statement. And I use Matthew 26, verse 40. And we'll read it again here. Then he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41, watch and pray lest you enter in temptation. The spirit is willing. It has good intentions. But the flesh is weak. Human willpower is weak. Again, this word, watch, is gregoreo, meaning to be alert, to be awake. Christ was telling them to be physically and spiritually alert. Realize the seriousness of this Christian life, the seriousness of the dangers of this world. Pray always. Parallel account is found over in Luke 21 and verse 36. Luke 21 and verse 36. It says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. The Greek word here is agrypneo, which means to be sleepless. The principle is that we are not to be so spiritually drowsy that we quit praying, that we're to be alert, be awake, pray always that we may be counted worthy to escape these things. Are we watching? Are we watching? And there's one other Greek word that applies to the word watch, which is napho, which means to be sober, not intoxicated in the figurative sense, so that we are of sound mind, have good judgment, not fuzzy thinking, that our discernment can be clear. You know, we're to watch the world events around us, but we're also to watch our spiritual lives and to be spiritually alert, sober, thinking clearly, making good decisions, observing. We're to stay close to God the Father and Jesus Christ. Go to Romans 13, verse 11. I can read it for you as I'm reading all the scriptures for you, so you don't have to turn there. But the Romans 13, 11 says, and do this, knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. And do this, knowing that the time that now it is a high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than we first believed. We're always closer, every day. And again, we may go, well, yes, I've heard that. But we do have to take that standpoint and look at where you are in life. Forgive me for repeating myself, but you know, when you're a young person, you think, oh, I've got my whole life ahead of me. I've got years out there. That'll happen sometime in the future. But you talk again to all those who are your elders, those who are older, and myself included. I look back and go, wow, where has time gone? It has flown by. And it will continue to fly by. And we need to be prepared, because we're always closer and nearer to the return of Christ than we first believed. Go back to Matthew 24 and pick it up in verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. He would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. See, thief was able to get in because he wasn't watching. Wasn't prepared. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you don't expect. What if the events that have occurred repeat themselves next year with more intensity, or a couple of years with more intensity, and then three or four events back to back, and happened much faster than we thought? We went, wow, I was thinking this was further out. I didn't think it would happen this quickly. What Christ is saying here, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming when you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Who has made his master ruler over his household to give him or give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, find doing. We want Christ to come and find us prepared, ready. Surely I say to you, he will make him ruler over all his goods. But an evil servant says in his heart, my master has delayed his coming. Well, he said he was coming back. He makes that comment day in and day out. Every year I hear it, but he hasn't shown up yet. He lets his guard down. And he will find that his master will come unexpectedly. We don't want to be in that boat. We don't want to be there. Hebrews 11 talks about the faithful who have not yet obtained their reward, who now sleep. And we know many people who have not obtained that reward either, who sleep. But there are those that have been down the long and difficult road of Christianity. They've grown weary. Thus, they've departed. He's not coming back. It's not going to happen anytime soon. And walk away. We don't want to do that. Our reward is still before us. And we must not be deceived nor troubled by these things that have occurred or are occurring. We must remain watchful, staying close to God each and every day. If nothing else, this should excite us, because we're seeing an event and how it will take place. How things can literally come to a halt. How the world can dynamically change in language and actions, government decisions, government interactions, local levels. I mean, it's amazing when you start looking at the whole concept of what can take place. And it can happen that quick. That quick. Let's go back over to Luke 12. Luke 12, beginning of verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Be ready. Be ready. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he returns from the wedding, and when he comes and knocks, that they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whose master, when he comes, will find watching. Watching. Assuredly, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Sound like somebody knocking on your door, ready to pick you up. You got your suitcases. You got everything you need. You're dressed. You're ready to go. Are we ready spiritually? Are we ready to go? Let's make sure that we're ready to go, not just got our bags packed. We got to have the spiritual growth. We got to have the development. We got to stay close in that relationship. We got to know that he's going to come and knock at our house, so to speak. Not going, well, they used to be there, but I think they've moved on. Dropping down to verse 40. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Emphasizing that point again. Let's turn to Mark 13. Mark 13. Take heed. Beginning verse 33, Mark 13, verse 33. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Keep an eye out. Keep looking. You know, peeking out the curtains, Are they coming yet? Are they coming down the road yet? Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Show up at any time. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. Again, we don't want to be spiritually lethargic, sleeping, putting off, groggy, going, well, got my coffee, I'm in my pajamas. Tomorrow will be a better day. Tomorrow will be a better day. We don't want to do that. We want to be ready. Lest coming suddenly find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Watch. The days Christ described will come. Shock and surprise will overtake most when they realize what is happening. But that should not be us. That should not be us. We should be encouraged by these events. Because it just solidifies God's truth. It makes it more, for lack of a better term, real. It's like, okay, I can see this. I'm now experiencing an event. I mean, we all have events. We all experience different things. But I think where I'm coming from here is that, you know, you have this stake in the ground now that we all relate to. I saw this. I experienced this. And it should increase our anticipation for the return of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. It should motivate us to be more diligent for events that may come in the future, in our lifetime. Motivate us to be ready. Ready. Let's begin turning over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The best preparation is spiritual preparation. You know, a lot of, as physical human beings, there are physical things we need, and we should keep, you know, food on hand. We should have perhaps some emergency supplies, but, you know, we shouldn't hoard and try to store up years worth of food and that sort of thing, because we did see in the beginnings of this that some foods were difficult to get. Some things were more difficult than others. So it doesn't hurt to have some things available. I mean, even the emergency part of our government tells us that we should have at least 2 weeks of food and supplies on hand. And that's good. And that's fine. But our true preparation should be spiritual. Spiritual. Involved in a close relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Applying day in and day out those daily fundamentals. Prayer, study, fasting, and meditation. It's not any more complex than that. That is simple as it is, but you know that it's far more difficult than just those basics. There's a lot involved to unpack in each and every one of those things. But we have to have a right and strong relationship with our Father and Elder Brother Jesus Christ. That is the key. We need to be drinking in God's Word daily and practicing that way of life each and every moment. Each and every moment. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Again, a thief in the night, it's sudden. And it is someone that can appear out of nowhere if you're not watching. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, and labor pains upon a pregnant woman, they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. Not in darkness, so the day should overtake you as a thief. You're not clueless. I'm not clueless. God has revealed to us what a wonderful blessing is truth and those things that will be happening. You are the sons of light and the sons of day. You are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of salvation. Again, what a blessing it is to know the truth of God. You know, the events that we have and are going through should only inspire us and motivate us. And we can be thankful for the early warning that God has given us. But having the knowledge of God is not only about understanding. We have to use that knowledge, put it into practice. That's what really counts. You know, the current times we find ourselves can make us uneasy, as it is a time of uncertainty around the globe. But I think it should also remind us of one thing, and we've heard it many times before: never say never. Never say never. Let's be sober to the fact that this is not the last time an event like this will occur in the world. It is part of the beginning of things to come, as Christ warned. Let's turn over to Luke 21. Luke 21, 29 through 36 says, and said, when he spoke to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. And says, when they now shoot forth, you know, and you know of your own selves that the summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, you know the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. There are signs that we can be watching for, and we should be watching for. Dropping down verse 36. Watch. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. We read that earlier. You know, Jesus did not mean that we should only focus our prayers on our own own survival and salvation, but we should keep watching the spiritual condition of this world. Watch the world events. Watch our own spiritual condition, how we're doing. Praying for the kingdom of God, staying close to God the Father, repenting, being accounted worthy to escape the end time tribulation that will come one day. It will come. We have God's word, his promises, and his word is true. So when we get to the other side, what will our condition be? Perhaps our health is not as it should be. Our bank accounts may resemble that of the widow's mite. Perhaps a little thinner, or perhaps a little more well fed. Nevertheless, spiritually, I pray that we all come to the other side of this more humble, more wiser, not having fear, but anticipating for the return of Jesus Christ, that our spiritual relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ is stronger than ever. But to remain spiritually strong and fit, we'll recall our real, to remain spiritually strong and fit means that we have to walk with God daily.